All right, since we're done with Revelation, finally, thought to do something a little bit lighter, at least give us a little bit of a mental break. And I thought it might be helpful, or maybe just interesting to kind of trace through this, the history of Christmas Day, as far as it being a Christian holiday. And I really kind of wanted to just answer three real questions, the big one being, like, why do we pick December 25th and say this is the day that we're going to celebrate Jesus' birthday? Because was it or was it not when Jesus was actually born? How did we decide that? How did we figure that out? Some will also ask the question of, like, should Christians celebrate Christmas? Is it okay for us to do it? Should we not do it? Is it actually sinful? Another common objection that you probably have heard somebody say is the idea that Christmas was a pagan holiday that Christians took over, and they conquered it and twisted it and changed it and made it Jesus' birthday. So I kind of just want to trace these three questions. They're kind of all intertwined, and so I thought we'd look at it a little bit, and we'll start with the early history of going back. Okay, when did it start? There's no record. We'd all kind of would know there's no record in the Bible, in the book of Acts, in any of Paul's letters, that the church in the New Testament was gathering on December 25th to celebrate Jesus' birthday. Maybe they were. We just don't know about it. I don't necessarily think so. There's also no record really in the first or second centuries of this happening either. So if we're thinking 0 to 100, if we're thinking 100 to 200, there's not a clear record that the churches is doing it then. However, there is very old, very clear records that they are gathering to remember Jesus' resurrection. And they are particularly doing that on Easter, that there is a... they normally would just call it Pascha. So whenever the Jews are celebrating Passover, the Christians are not celebrating Passover. They are remembering the resurrection of Jesus. That made it very easy and helpful to remember when that happened and what time of year it happened. And we do have record of them doing that really kind of from the very beginning. They're observing Easter. They're remembering Easter. They're doing that. Although there was some slight disagreement on, like, when's the exact best day to remember Easter. Most would do it that Sunday. There was a splinter group near the beginning that thought, no, we need to do it Saturday on the day of Passover because he's the Passover lamb. And so there was a little disagreement on date, but they were within a day or two. There's not a lot there. And some other earlier stuff, we have Origen in the 3rd century, one of the other church fathers. He actually mocked the Roman practice of observing birthdays in general as being pagan. He thought that was just a silly, sinful pagan idea to remember the day that you were born and celebrate that, which I find kind of funny. And these guys can be wrong about stuff, even though I like them. But Clement of Alexandria, he was in the 2nd century. He was kind of born, or he's like 150 to 215. It was about when he was alive. He was a pastor in the early church. And he mentions the date of Jesus' birth, but he acknowledges there's some disagreement on exactly when it is. And he lists a bunch of dates. So it seems like there's at least 7 different opinions kind of early on as to when exactly was Jesus born. Because it just, people weren't keeping track of what day that they were born. Some of the Romans were, but the average person is not doing that. Especially, you know, the average poor Jewish family isn't necessarily doing that either. But it starts to appear a little bit later. We start to get kind of some more clear timing of when this happened. We have one of the bishops of Rome, so he's kind of the lead pastor in the city of Rome. He said, no, Christ was born on December 25th. So that's still, that's pretty early when we have somebody claiming a definitive date in 204 AD. There's also around this time, kind of in the 3rd century, there's this thing called the Philokian calendar, which was an illustrator, somebody who liked to make lots of illustrations, and he made himself a book, or a book was commissioned, filled with all sorts of pictures. There are many from the Bible. There are many from Greek and Roman stuff. There are some of them that are inappropriate, so maybe don't look at all of them. But in there, it lists a bunch of birthdays of famous people, and one of them is Jesus of Nazareth, whose birthday is listed as December 25th. So for that to happen, too, at that point, there has to be enough people around who think that's Jesus' birthday for that to get into, like, somebody's calendar that they're making. It's not just a random thing. So by the 4th century, there's really 2 primary dates that have emerged that everyone's beginning to settle more or less. And so the Western church, which would be really the Roman church, and then East would be like the Eastern Orthodox Church, will eventually split away. But at this point, they haven't split yet. They won't split till 1050. But they're starting to split, and there's a very kind of clear division culturally and a lot of differences. And one of them is on the day that Jesus was born. And so the Western church says Jesus was born on December 25th. The Eastern church says, no, he was born on January 6th. You ask, why are they doing that differently? Well, one of the reasons is they're following two different calendars. So the Western church likes the Gregorian Roman calendar. The Eastern church likes the Julian Roman calendar. So they're putting different days, even though they, if we use a different calendar, it gets weird. But eventually, in the Council of Tours, by 567, that is when it's not one of the big universal councils. There are some church councils that we should all really like. Nicaea is the biggest one. Chalcedon, if you're a believer, you should like those church councils. We should agree with what they said. Many of the other ones, we can take or leave them, because not every single pastor in the whole world was gathered at those. This is kind of one of those. But it was a larger one, and one of the things that they decided is Jesus was born on December 25th. We're still going to celebrate the 6th, but we're just going to make all those 12 days, every single one of those days is going to be a feast. So even the song says, the 12 days of Christmas, well, that's for those 12 days there. Is now that's Christmas tide. Starts on December 25th, and we celebrate it every day. And then the 6th is Epiphany, is part of the Christian calendar. The Eastern Church still, they might recognize, okay, we'll say Jesus is born on the 25th, but they celebrate the 6th more. They like that day. It's a bigger celebration generally. But how do we land on those dates? How'd they decide, especially if they didn't know early? It can seem to us like they just picked it out of nowhere. There was some intentionality in how they did this and kind of how they decided. And really how it did is they knew when he died and they worked backwards from there. Okay, so we know when Jesus dies. Jesus dies Passover weekend. He dies the Friday before. And so one of the very popular Jewish ideas, and this was popular certainly in Jesus' day and after, and even many centuries before then, but there was this very popular idea that the great prophets died on the same day that they were conceived. And so that's how they do it. So that's a way. I don't ask me how they decided this. I don't know where they get this from the Bible, but okay. Moses, Isaiah, they must have died, and it just so happened to be the same exact day that they were conceived. And so everybody agreed. We all agree on things that people will look back at a couple hundred years and laugh at us. Why'd they think that? All good followers of God thought this. And so then that continues to Jesus Jesus is also a great prophet. We know when he died, so let's just count backwards. Because that must have been the day he was conceived. And so we'll go back 9 months, because all babies take 9 months and then they're born. And what day is that? December 25th. That's Jesus's birthday. So that's how we got there. Basically is how we got there. And then the Eastern Church and Western Church are using different calendars. And so that's why the Eastern Church is saying, well, no, Jesus died on April 6th. Or that's the day he was conceived. And okay, March 25th is the Western Church. So they kind of disagree just a little bit here. But then you also have places like the Donatists, who were you could probably say like a fundamentalist Christian split. They thought the church was getting really, really weak, and they wanted to hold firm and stay strong and stay pure. They were especially upset at believers who fell away during persecution, that when they were being tortured, instead of dying, that they made sacrifices to Rome, and then they came back to church and repented. They thought, no, those people need to get kicked out and never come to church again. There's no forgiveness for them. So they were very upset that the church said, no, Jesus died for all of our sins, including the really bad ones. And so they went off by themselves. And one of their things is they held very strongly to December 25th. They thought this idea Jesus was born on January 6th was an innovation, was something that people came up with later, and they were real upset about it. So they held to, this is what the apostles taught us. So that doesn't necessarily mean that they're right or it's exactly it, but it is kind of showing us the earliness of this idea. If in the 4th century you have a group of people that is willing to split and leave, and one of the things they're really upset about is that this is the right date. My father told me it was the right date. His grandfather did, and his great-grandfather knew John. It's just part of showing you where some of these traditions come from. Now, this idea of the pagan takeover of, okay, Christians took over this from the Romans. You can already see where this is developing. It's kind of developing slowly, even though it's early. But the idea, even, that Christmas is a pagan holiday, the first time that's ever said by anyone ever that's written down, doesn't show up till the 12th century. And it's not even somebody who says that it is happening. It's somebody who wonders possibly if maybe Christians took a Roman holiday and co-opted it and used it to celebrate Jesus instead. He doesn't say definitely. And then nobody says anything until we get to the 18th, 19th centuries, where we have the emergence of theological liberalism and historical critical theory, where people start looking at the Bible and thinking, I don't really think God wrote this. Somebody wrote this. And then they come and they say, oh, you know what? Yeah, Christmas was taken over from this other holiday, which nobody knew that before them. They figured it out in the 18th century. So it's a very, very late idea, which is interesting, I think. It's certainly not as early as they might say. Now, there is, and there was a Roman emperor, Aurelian, who established a feast to the unconquered sun, or to the sun god. Yeah, and so that's kind of one of the pictures of him. He usually has rays around his head. He started printing coins. He was a god the Romans used to worship, but nobody really worshiped him anymore. And he wanted to bring it back. He wanted to make everybody worship this guy again because it was his favorite god. I don't know his exact motivations. But so he decreed December 25th is when we're celebrating this new god. And that's in 274. Now, there's several things to note. One, we've already kind of shown a little bit. There certainly seems to be Christians before this day who are already beginning to think that Jesus was born on December 25th. This is very late. It's not like lots of Romans were gathering on this day to celebrate this god. This is the day that we know, or the year we know, they started their holiday. And even Jerome, who was a pastor about this time, in one of his sermons, he loosely refers to this day and mostly just talks about how Christ is the true sun and the true light. And it seems as if when you read it that they're kind of implying like, wow, what a coincidence the Romans just so happened to pick this day to celebrate their God, because this is also when we recognize the true God. So that part doesn't really make sense. It also, the idea that the Christians would take over a pagan holiday at this point in time is really ludicrous. If you understand what the early church in the 3rd and 4th centuries is facing, because they're a very minority religion. They are still going through constant persecution in one way or another. Sometimes it's outright death. Most times it's just rejection, and they're all crazy and silly and wild. So they're not in power. They're not popular. Nobody wants to celebrate their holidays. Nobody wants to hang out with Christians. Nobody wants to want anything to do with them. And because of that, Christianity is trying very hard to distinguish itself from paganism. They were not trying to say, hey, we're just like you. We love the Roman sun god. We'll have a party on the same day you do. They were very clear to distinguish. No, we don't go to the temple. We don't go to the circus. We don't go to the Colosseum. We don't go to the theater. We don't do all the stuff you guys do. We're different. And the early church also tried to distinguish itself from Judaism. They wanted to be clear, we're not like them either. We are followers of Jesus. We might, you know, we have some of the same scriptures, some of the same prophets, but we are not the same religion. So that part doesn't fit. And they especially, early church was strongly against anything that's new and innovative. They didn't like, hey, let's try this new thing. Hey, I think we should believe this new idea. If you said that, they'd throw you out or say, no, we don't want new. We don't want innovative. We want to do what Jesus did. And so the idea that like, the Romans are doing this thing. We should start our own holiday. It's like, whoa. Or we start our own holiday. Get out of here. That's crazy. Now, even though we can see they kind of slowly developed this idea, but to them, it's not a new thing. It's, we're recognizing when Jesus, we believe that he was already born. So the idea that at least the early ideas of Christmas was taken over from paganism just doesn't make any sense, I don't think, at least not from the early church. So can we observe Christmas? Yeah, I think so. Now, one, again, there's no biblical command that we must do so. So if you believe that we shouldn't, you are free in Jesus to not think about his birth on December 25th whatsoever, or just through the whole month of December if you want to stay super safe. You don't have to do that. And there are many who fear kind of the pagan origins. Usually that comes to later stuff. And so they might believe that, oh no, celebrating Christmas, like if I do that, I'm worshiping and I'm partnering with idols and I'm partnering with demons. And now I'm in serious deep sin. And so it's very important. I'm not going to have a Christmas tree. I'm going to have a Joshua tree or something else. And so that's where kind of some of those things can come from. Not always. I'm not saying if you do that you hate Christmas or anything. But I think some of this is honestly just a little bit of an overreaction and misguided. I don't think that it's clear that at least the original idea of on December 25th, recognizing Jesus' birth, that doesn't appear to be a pagan idea. That does appear to originate from the church, trying to follow Jesus, trying to follow the Bible. It's also this, you know, some people who are afraid of anything that maybe was pagan once kind of exhausts me, because you can go really crazy with this. And I know some who do that because all of the days of the week almost all of them are like named for pagan gods. So there's some who take this to the extreme too. Well, I can't say Thursday because that's close to Thor. So I'm going to say the fourth day of the week all the time, because if I say Thursday, I might be committing idolatry and participating with demons. So to go, you know, that kind of stuff just gets a little much for me. However, I need to rein myself back a little bit. I think if we do have people in our lives who we know who feel this way, that we need to not cause them to sin, to not, if they're the weaker brother, Corinthians talks about that, right? The weaker and the stronger brother. There's some who believe they can eat meat sacrificed to idols, and some who think that they can't. And that's a lot more, we would think more serious than should we celebrate Christmas or not. And Paul says, hey, if you think that you can, great, eat it, but don't cause your weaker brother to sin. Don't rub it in their face. Don't come and tell them how wrong they are. Don't break, hey, I need to send you a book and some sermons you can listen to so you can get right. Just love them, serve them, fellowship with them, and it's okay. I also, on the other side, I think, you know, we shouldn't demand that all Christians observe this day either. You can think about if you are a missionary, you know, in the Amazon, and you go to one of these uncontacted tribes, and you bring them to faith in Jesus, do you need to say, hey guys, it's December 25th, we're believers, we celebrate Jesus' birthday on this day? If that's totally something that they're not used to, that is unusual, that is weird, that might be kind of strange. So do they have to do that to be Christians? Well, no, probably not. Now, could you? Would it be nice? Yeah, it could be. But, you know, it's certainly not an essential part of our faith, right? So we're free to do it. Don't think we have to do it. And kind of this eventually morphs a little bit into Advent. So kind of by the 6th century, you know, people are getting more organized on what Christmas is going to look like. And so then the several weeks that are leading up to Christmas, to December 25th, are beginning to be known as Advent at this point in time, which is just the Latin word for coming, where we're going to intentionally remember that Jesus came. It's usually at least early marked by fasting, much like Lent, the period before Easter. And it starts to get more and more developed kind of as the whole Christian calendar gets filled out. And as it moves away from, well, we remember Easter, and now we remember Christmas, well, and Epiphany's on January 6th, because we want to recognize that, of then, well, we start adding more days and more celebrations, especially in the Middle Ages. That is when Christianity does actually begin to start conquering pagan holidays. Especially once you get to the 600s, you have Pope Gregory, who says, hey, if you got those pagan temples and they're Christians now, turn that into a church. Just redecorate it and let's use it. And and then later centuries, it's, oh, are they celebrating such and such on that day? Great, pick a saint. We'll remember that saint on that day. We'll turn it into something else. And so those holidays start to kind of shift, and Christian calendar gets kind of full with all sorts of extra stuff. But that begins to happen much later, I think. And So again, as we're just kind of thinking about the Bible, at least, is how we think about it. You know, the Old Testament does have a calendar. The followers of God, the people of Israel, had a calendar that they were supposed to follow. And it wasn't the world's calendar. It was God's calendar. They had every seven sevens, every 49th year. Hey, it's the year of Jubilee. And here is what that year looks like. And that year is going to look very different for us as a nation than for everyone else. Every seventh year, that's the Sabbath year. We're going to do something different on that year. We have, you know, Passover as the big one. Then we have the Festival of Booths. You have the Festival of Unleavened Bread. You have all these other different times that they would, that God commanded them to set aside and to remember particular things, particular special moments that God worked in their history. And so that was supposed to be part of the calendar. It doesn't just go off of the harvest like everybody else. It goes off of the story of what God had done. Now, as believers in the New Testament, we're not commanded to follow the Old Testament calendar of worship. In fact, we see the Gentiles are not supposed to, that they're free to ignore it, although Paul and some others still kind of observe it. The main thing believers are commanded to do is to gather for worship on Sunday. Main place I would go to is Hebrews 10:25 of, hey, believers, do not neglect the gathering together, as is the habit of some. And then just all through the book of Acts, we see them gathering together on every Sunday for worship. And so we're supposed to do that, but then there is biblical freedom for, well, what's our worship look like when we gather together? Can I just pick any verse of the Bible and that's what we preach through? Yep. Could we go through a lectionary and just have an organized way we go through the whole book of the Bible? Yep, we could have freedom to do that. There's lots of freedom in what that worship can look like. Can we set aside one Sunday every year to remember Jesus' birth? Yep, we could do that. Do we have to? No, we don't have to. But the main thing is we should kind of gather that way. So just some takeaways, I guess, on this. You know, Christmas doesn't go back to the New Testament, but it does seem to be a very old Christmas tradition. Now, if you want to get to like the Christmas tree or Christmas lights and Christmas presents and some of the other things on top of Christmas, do those have pagan origins? Maybe, possibly. I'm less necessarily attached to any of them. I'm also always wary when people come to attack Christian things and say it's actually bad and here's why, because their history is usually, well, I saw on YouTube this thing. Like, okay, great. Well, is that a scholar? Do you have a primary source, or is this just somebody's idea once in 18th century Germany said this is made up? Okay, great. So I think we can rest easy. Don't think it has pagan origins. And I do think the Christian calendar in general is helpful and is sanctifying. I really like the Christian calendar. I don't like all the saint days, although I love the church history. I love many of the old saints. I love their stories. They're very helpful and encouraging. I don't need to remember all of their birthdays or the days that they die. But I do personally, at least, find thinking about seasons of Advent and Lent and Christmas and Epiphany and Ordinary Time, I find that helpful for myself. I think it's good. It reminds me of how the Old Testament saints had their own kind of calendar that was different than the world's calendar. And so there's part of that that helps me, at least, to go, my calendar isn't going to be guided by when the public schools in the United States of America decide things happen. My calendar is not going to be guided by what our country decides is and isn't a holiday and isn't significant, that I'm going to try. I mean, I'm going to participate in those things, and I like some of them a lot and like some of them less. But I'm going to try to be guided by Jesus and the Christian calendar. And that can be, I personally have found that helpful. I don't think everybody has to do that. And I don't always personally follow it anyway. At least Advent and Lent I do, and then we get a little loosey-goosey later. And it does, too, for me. Just in general, seems very strange to me to, like, intentionally refuse to remember Jesus' birth. It's like, no, I will not on that day think about Jesus being born. Like, really? I mean, you know, same thing with, like, Easter. No, I can't. We can't. This is the pagan some god there somewhere. So we're just going to have a regular Sunday. Or we'll call it Resurrection Sunday, but we're preaching through Joshua. We'll just keep doing that. Okay, well, at least in our country, everyone else who's a believer is thinking about Jesus' birth. But why don't you just go ahead and do that too? It's okay. You know, I don't know. I'm giving myself away there. But that's a brief kind of history defense a little bit about Christmas. Why do we remember it on December 25th and why? But any questions? Maybe something I can clarify?
I think I've heard this before, but I've forgotten it. Why did the day to celebrate Christ's birth, why do we call it Christmas?
Good question. I probably should have looked at that more. I'm guessing the Christ part is in it. I don't know. You know, probably, actually, now that I'm talking aloud, I'll talk this out. It's probably Mass, because it's the special Christ Mass, and then it gets changed. Which, and also, funny thing, so Xmas, we see that a lot of times. Sometimes Christians will get very upset. They're taking Jesus out of Christmas. It represents Christ. It's one of the earliest, Christ's name in Greek starts with an X. That was a very thing. People would mark X's and knew that's Jesus. So I get a chuckle when people are, oh, they're taking Jesus out of this thing. Oh, you're not educated or don't know the history yet. In my head, I think.
Of course, it's become very materialized, but the reason we give gifts to people, I think it's just because God gave us his greatest gift. You know, and it was a gift to us. And so the reason we take the opportunity to give gifts to others is because we care for them like God cared for us.
So yes.
That's lost in all the commercials and all that, but still.
There certainly is a lot of that.
It's a time when people give gifts to each other.
There is. And I might not spend the whole time on it, but I probably will spend a little time talking about St. Nicholas next week. Nice. We'll spend more of others. But St. Nicholas of Myra was a real person. So I tell my children when they ask, was Santa real? I say, oh, yes, he was real, but he died a long time ago. Let me tell you about him. He's a great man.
Yeah. Our children, that's how you give without expecting to receive back, because now you're anonymous when you say you're Santa.
Mm. I like that one.
In that way, we all get to be Santa. He's not some magical figure in the sky.
That's good. It's good to teach our children to give gifts without just wanting to get things and count how many presents they got. But let me pray for us. Then we go, Lord, I just thank you for the gift that you have given us of your Son, of salvation, of coming to be born on this earth, to wrap yourself in flesh, to die on the cross, to be resurrected, to defeat death, so that we can have new life, so that we can be with you forever. We thank you. And Lord, we pray and we ask that you would help us as we are in this season, that we do not get swept up in the world's idea of what Christmas is, that we don't get caught up in the materialism or the commercialism or all of the other flashy things that can be so distracting, but that you would help us in the midst of this to be a light for you, that you would help us to love each other, you would help us to give and to give freely and joyfully, that we would be able to be calm and at peace in the midst of the chaos, and that everything we do in this season would reflect you and would proclaim not just your birth, but your life and your death and your resurrection, that really we just proclaim the gospel in this season. And we pray this in your holy and precious name. Amen. All right. Thanks for being here.